Welcome, everyone. My name is Ricky Bradley, and I'm the IT Director for Citizens Climate Lobby. It's my honor to welcome all the CCL volunteers from throughout the country who've signed into this webinar. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you about the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act of 2021. So let's get started. We're joined by Mark Reynolds, Citizens Climate Lobby's Executive Director, Madeline Pera, CCL's President, Dr. Danny Richter, CCL's Vice President of Government Affairs, and Leslie Beatty, CCL's Director of Marketing.
Today, the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act was reintroduced by Ted Deutsch and 28 co-sponsors. Welcome to our bill launch call. My name is Mark Reynolds. I'm Citizens Climate Lobby's Executive Director, and I will be leading off today's call. You know, if you're new to Citizens Climate Lobby, we're a pretty simple organization. We exist to do two things. One is to solve climate change, and two is to empower citizens to do that. Tonight, in 45 minutes or less, what we're going to do is tell you why we love this bill, go over some of the features, including some of the things that are different since last year's bill, go over what you and the people in your chapter can do, and we've developed some new talking points from research that I think that you will find useful in communicating about the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act. So why do we love the bill? Well, first of all, because it will get us to net zero by 2050 faster than any solution. We like that it'll also get us clean, affordable energy, that it's good for people's health. And it's particularly good for people in frontline communities who've been disproportionately affected by the impacts of carbon pollution. And then it'll put money in people's pockets that'll be especially useful to people who are low and middle income. So we like it at least for starts for those four reasons. In just a couple of minutes, you'll be hearing from Dr. Danny Richter, our Vice President of Government Affairs, who'll talk about the features of the bill. Then you'll hear from our president, Madeline Pera, about what the people you and your chapter can do. And then our director of marketing, Leslie Beatty, will go over some new talking points that I think you'll find very, very helpful. You know, if you've looked at the information we've sent out on the bill, one thing that's probably obvious to you at this point is at this point, there are only Democrats on the bill. We're going to work very hard to get Republicans on the bill. And I don't think any organization has ever worked harder on bipartisanship. I don't think any organization does as much outreach as we do to conservatives, Republicans, and members of Congress, and in general. And we will continue to do that. In fact, just since the first of the year, we've hired four new staff members who are all conservative. So this will continue to be a big deal for our organization. But we need to be clear about one thing. We exist to solve climate change, and that is ultimately our guide for the direction we go. So thank you so much for joining us tonight. What I'm going to do right now is turn things over to Dr. Danny Richter.
All right. Thank you, Mark. And hello, everyone. It's a pleasure to be with you. It's an exciting day. So let's talk about the reintroduction. With the reintroduction of the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act today, we again have an important tool at our disposal to push for big emissions reductions as fast as possible. Now, remember, we have two imperatives in the current political configuration. The first imperative is to make sure a carbon price is included in the coming climate package. And the second imperative is to make sure that we have influence regardless of whether we end up in a regular order process, that is the normal process for passing a bill, or in a reconciliation process, that is a special process that is only available once per fiscal year. Having this bill out is going to make it much easier for us to achieve both of these imperatives. As excited as we are to see any carbon pricing bill, this is the one that is most likely to get the largest number of co-sponsors. And why is that? Well, it's because of you. So thank you for that. This bill was introduced today with 28 original co-sponsors. And if you include Congressman Deutsch, that's 29. And we're gonna have lots of opportunities to get more. In fact, we've already heard of at least one additional co-sponsor who notified the Deutsch office too late. So next week we will hear of at least one new co-sponsor. I'm sure we'll be hearing about a lot more. So now let's talk about what's in the bill. First of all, let's start with what's the same. The bill is basically the same three-legged stool of the carbon fee, the carbon dividend, and a border adjustment. Looking closer, you see the same $15 per ton initial price, the same $10 per ton annual rate of increase, the same 100% dividend to every adult and half dividend to every child, and there is still a border carbon adjustment designed to keep things even Steven on carbon emissions, whether you produce your goods here or elsewhere. Where? The bells and whistles many of you have come to love so much, such as the prebate on the dividend, the studies on accountability, and the automatic ratchet on the price if we're not meeting emissions targets are still there. So now let's look at what's different. So here you see a list of what has changed in the bill. And the first one I think is the biggest change. The target is now net zero by 2050. And some of you might be wondering, how could Deutsche have a more aggressive target with the same rate of increase? And well, the rate of increase was consistent with what Noah Kaufman, who is now in the administration, published in Nature Climate Change. And what you're seeing now is a couple of graphs from his work. He talked about this when he was our January speaker. If you look at the graph on the right, the 2050 target is a light blue box in the middle. The x-axis is the year, and the 2 years listed are 2025 and 2030. The y-axis is price. And if you look at the black dots in the middle of those light blue bars, those come in right about $50 on $100, which is pretty much pegging the 5 year and 10 year price points for the bill. So one thing that Dr. Kaufman stresses is that there are going to be a need for other complementary policies in this near-term to net zero approach. But as we've said for years now, this is the best first step, and this is the step that makes everything else easier. Going back to the list of changes, there is no fee on fluorinated greenhouse gases in this version. And that is because legislation to reduce the emissions of fluorinated greenhouse gases passed in December as part of the third COVID relief package. The legislation was sufficiently stringent to bring the United States in line with the Kigali Amendment. So what we end up with is a more streamlined bill. There's less for people to disagree with, and I know of one specific instance where this issue was a holdup for at least one member of a trade association that was important to a Republican member of Congress. So this is a good thing. Next, the regulatory pause, it is gone. There were several pages that were just deleted. The inclusion of the regulatory pause, as many of you know, was a big bone of contention for many organizations and for some Democrats. The bill should be able to gain more total co-sponsors with this configuration, which will help us meet our first imperative of making sure a carbon price is in the coming climate package. I will address how this development might affect our outreach to Republican members of Congress in a moment, but I want to continue on with the changes. The next change in this bill is that the carbon capture and sequestration provision has been updated. It is still limited to qualified CO2, it's still safe and permanent storage, but a wider set of facilities will be able to claim the rebate. And this is probably going to be of particular interest for members of Congress with a strong agricultural presence in their district or state. There are also a series of technical changes. The border adjustment language was simplified and modified to address some comments we got from experts. The start date has been updated because time marches on. The reference year for the emissions reduction schedule was changed to 2010 instead of 2016. And this is to bring it more in line with other policies and more easily comparable to other discussions and policies aimed at reducing emissions. The due date for the National Academy of Sciences on the effectiveness of this policy was bumped up to being due after 5 years instead of 10. And I just want to note that our research department is updating resources throughout all our websites, throughout community, though there are several resources that are updated already and live, and those include a summary of these changes, one page, an updated Q&A, an updated section by section, and an updated data set for bill impact. So if you go to CCL Community, I believe that's been put in the chat already, you can find those updated resources ready to go. Now, I said I was going to come back to Republicans, and let me do that now. There are no Republicans among the 28 original co-sponsors. The Deutsche office was always consistent in communicating their desire to introduce early and to introduce in a bipartisan fashion. The desire to introduce early became an imperative with Biden's climate summit coming up on April 22nd. The imperative is to show how much support this type of policy has in Congress, especially with the president's plan and all the headlines that follow that plan emitting a carbon price. I know that the Deutsche office remains open to Republican support and continues to engage Republican offices in discussions to join onto this bill. I would also like to point out that the only way for us to do justice to the thousands of conservatives who are CCL volunteers and who love the carbon fee and dividend plan for the way it honors their conservative values is if we are at the table. This is our second imperative, to have influence regardless of what process lies ahead of us. Getting this bill out now and getting the attention of the politicians putting together the climate package is how we honor our conservative volunteers, so we can advocate for inclusion of this policy idea in the package and meaningfully push for the package to look more like this bill. For those Republicans in Congress who would still require some sort of regulatory simplification, our ask of them remains the same, to get to the table and to support a carbon price. If they want it to be Republican only, that's fine. If they want it to be bipartisan, there are 82 Democrats still in Congress today who got on board with the regulatory simplification in the last Congress. That is 37% of the current Democratic caucus in the House. That's 82 Democrats they can engage with and get creative with to introduce their own carbon price. We would love to see it. So now let's talk about what to do next. Again, our two imperatives are to make sure a carbon price is included in the coming climate package, and to make sure we have influence regardless of whether we are in regular order or reconciliation. So I think that our primary asks in the House and the Senate are still good. Since this bill was introduced in the House, let me focus here on our House asks. Our ask of House Democrats was support the Energy Innovation and Carbon Dividend Act. For current co-sponsors, liaisons, I want you to get that thank you email prepped and ready. We want to get that thank you email out to current co-sponsors, those 28 Democrats, soon. And we want them to talk about this bill, talk about their support for this bill publicly, whether that's in speeches, on social media, on their website, floor speeches, whatever. It's also fine if they talk about all the other climate bills they are supporting. Many of you probably already did this in your meetings last week, but liaisons, don't forget to get that thank you email out now that the bill is live with their names on it. For those Democrats who are not yet co-sponsors, for liaisons, please send an email in the next week or so letting your staff or contacts know that this has been reintroduced and you would like to see your member co-sponsor. Attach the comparison chart resource I talked about earlier that summarizes bill changes. If you know that the regulatory pause was a hang-up for your Democratic member of the House from previous meetings, put the fact that it's gone in this version in the top line of your email. This guidance is just for our liaisons. After a brief Q&A, Madeline is going to talk shortly about what all our volunteers can do, whether you're a liaison or not. For House Republicans, our ask remains, get to the table, support a carbon price. We need to hear conservative voices in the climate discussion. Need it. Their voices will help the final product be more durable. Let Republicans know that Congressman Deutsch remains open to a bipartisan bill. If you believe that the regulatory pause will be important to them, remind them that 82 Democrats in this Congress supported such a bill in the last Congress. The Democrats are pushing as a whole forward on climate, and a lot of their proposals lack market-based approaches. Business is increasingly saying specifically that they want a carbon price, and the climate effort will be better and stronger if Republican voices are engaged in the discussion. So to conclude, the reintroduction of this bill is going to be a very useful piece in meeting our imperative to make a carbon price the backbone of the coming climate bill. We continue to push for more members of both parties on any carbon pricing bill, but this is the one that is most likely to attract the most co-sponsors, and that's because of you and all the hard work that we have done together. This is not at all a closed door on Republicans. We still want them at the table, and in fact, we crave their voices at the table. If it's not with this bill or a version of this bill with the regulatory pause added back in, we want them on whatever kind of carbon price they feel they can support. It really helps.
All right, thank you. It is good to see so many of you on this call, and it's great to be in a period when Congress is preparing to move ahead on climate change. We've been building up to this point for a long time, working hard on both sides of the aisle. I'm so blown away by the excellent reports on our lobby week that I heard from group leaders two nights ago. Your lobby teams were put together with great care, strategically incorporating conservatives into Republican meetings and more diversity overall, as well as including strategic community leaders. At a time when many people have stopped reaching across the aisle, you've continued to do that within your groups and with Congress. No matter how things unfold in Congress this year, I know that we'll continue to be an organization that recruits and empowers people from all backgrounds, conservative and liberal, people of color and white, younger and older, to work together to enact the strongest, most durable solutions. Carbon fee and dividend remains our top priority. Do we wish we lived in easier and less partisan times and that this had been done a long time ago? Yes, of course. But as a congressional aide said in a recent lobby meeting, she loves that CCLers are pragmatic people. I love that we're also principled and persistent. So with climate high on the agenda of congressional leadership, this is the year to be all in. There's a role for each and every one of you to play, whether you live in a red, blue, or purple part of the country. If you're already doing the things I'm about to suggest, thank you. You can increase your impact by asking other people you know to join you. So here's some immediate things you can do. First, use our action tools to contact your members of Congress. The tools are set up with the right message for your own member of Congress, and you just go to cclusa.org/actions to get started. Second, we want President Biden to include carbon pricing in his climate package, and we've launched a postcard campaign with a goal of 3,000 personalized postcards being sent to him by Earth Day. Join the campaign and get step-by-step instructions for using the postcard app at cclusa.org/postcard. And third, of course, write letters to the editor. If you have a co-sponsor, praise them in your letter to the editor and ask other members of Congress to get on board. And fourth, of course, like and share our posts on social media in order to spread the word even farther. But as you know, introduction or reintroduction is just one step on the way to passage. So here's the next actions to take. Sign up for our text action alerts so you're ready for the next call to action. That's at cclusa.org/text. Join our monthly calling campaign. I learned that CCLers made 5 times as many calls to Congress in the first 75 days of this year as compared to last year. So let's quintuple again, cclusa.org/mcc to sign up for monthly calling campaign. And then thirdly, our March fundraiser surpassed our goal for 10,000 in new monthly donors. Thank you so much. Our monthly donors make a big difference, and it's never too late to donate. You can do that at cclusa.org/donate. Okay, so of course, there are some bigger things you can do, and those often work best through your chapter. Do you have supportive friends or family that run a local business? Invite them to attend our Business Advocates for Carbon Pricing Conference that's coming up on Tuesday, April 13th. It's just 2 hours long and it's free. Second, business leaders, elected officials, and other community leaders can continue to endorse the Energy Innovation Act at the updated and refreshed website, energyinnovationact.org. And then work with your local chapter on those and other projects. Climate change is going to be getting a lot of attention from now through the summer and fall as President Biden floats ideas, creates his package, and moves forward. So your chapter needs you. If you don't have a chapter, know that every state has an at-large statewide chapter set up. You can work with your state or regional coordinator to scoop up other people like you in your state. We just need a little bit of help to get going and don't have a local group. You can find your regional coordinator on our website, and you can figure out a role with them of any size for yourself in getting started. And as a bonus, you'll probably make some new friends in your state. All right, that was too many ideas. Let's go back to 2 things you can do right now. Write your member of Congress and or send a postcard to President Biden. Everything else you can find out about by reading the weekly briefing or from your local leadership. Okay, so as mentioned, we're gonna have Leslie Beatty, our director of marketing, up next on how she's been refining our messaging. And I'm really pleased to be turning this over to her now for that.
Thanks, Madeline. So I'm happy to talk everyone through what we say when we're talking about the new Energy Innovation Act. What I'm going to go through tonight is top-line messaging. These are benefits that appeal to the public. So let's assume for this audience that we have a member of the public who cares about climate change, but who may not have a lot of familiarity with climate policy. And these messaging points are really what we're calling kitchen table benefits. So they speak to the concerns and cares that someone might have and talk about at their dinner table. You can find these messaging points at the Energy Innovation Act. A couple notes, we've updated the messaging due to new features in the bill. We have new research that has informed this. And we were also able to run some message testing both with conservatives and liberals. And so the findings from those tests have been incorporated into the changes that we've made to the messaging. Okay, so the first point, net zero by 2050. This policy will reduce America's carbon pollution by 30% in the first 5 years alone and get us to net zero by 2050. It's the single most powerful tool we have to reduce America's carbon pollution. We're leading with net zero by 2050 because that was what had the most resonance when we tested this message. People were able to understand what that is. It gave them enough information and they were also able to remember it. So these data points often go as supporting points when we're talking about our bill working fast and it being effective. My recommendation here is to pair those messages with a specific data point, either net zero by 2050 or 30% in the first 5 years when speaking to someone who is just learning about the bill. All right, affordable clean energy. With this policy, the government sets the direction and businesses respond in order to provide abundant, affordable, and reliable clean energy. This clean energy innovation will drive us faster towards net zero pollution. We learned that people largely feel positive about fossil fuel companies paying a fee. However, their minds immediately went to wondering what that meant for them in terms of price increases. And so people largely understand that green things generally cost more. And they're worried that if the price of not green things increases, that they're going to be stuck with something that they can't afford. Affordable clean energy is really the kitchen table benefit that results from the innovation in the Energy Innovation Act. So the reason the Energy Innovation Act gets us to affordable clean energy is that government sets a signal, but businesses compete to deliver affordable clean energy. And the resulting innovation does drive us faster to net zero. Okay, saves lives. This policy will improve health and save 4.5 million American lives over the next 50 years by reducing pollution Americans breathe. Poor air quality is responsible for as many as 1 in 10 American deaths today and sickens thousands more. New studies are available just in the last 6 months on the impact of air pollution on our health and on our lifespans. And it turns out that air pollution from burning fossil fuels is way worse for us than we understood even previously. The Energy Innovation Act drives down fossil fuel emissions. So the good thing about air pollution is that when we stop burning fossil fuels, the air pollution responds very quickly. The Energy Innovation Act, which reduces emissions by 30% in the first 5 years, will save lives and improve health. And that's particularly true in frontline communities, which are suffering the worst burdens of air pollution today. Puts money in your pocket. This policy is affordable for ordinary Americans because it puts money in your pocket. The money collected from the fee is given as a monthly dividend or carbon cashback payment to every American to spend with no restrictions. Most low and middle income Americans will come out financially ahead or break even. So we titled this Puts Money in Your Pocket because it was the most obvious way that we could make the point that everybody will get money from this proposal. The folks that we tested this with had concerns that they themselves would not be able to afford a transition to clean energy and that many of their friends and people that they knew also wouldn't be able to afford. So there is a perception, perhaps based in reality, that a lot of people would not be able to afford to transition to clean energy. And the payment is something that really helps overcome that issue. The other two things that were really important is that there are no restrictions on how the money can be spent. And that the money will be enough for most people to come out financially ahead. So I wish I could go into a little more detail on what's in here, but I did want to say the data sources for these four benefits, as well as other talking points that are on the Energy Innovation site are available at energyinnovationact.org/data sources. And then I wanted to introduce another topic, which is, drumroll, that CCL is going to be producing more content under its own brand about a price on carbon more broadly. And there are a couple reasons for that. The first is that we want to use the vocabulary that other people are largely using when they're talking about the policy that we support. And so, you know, we tend to use Energy Innovation Act and Carbon Fee and Dividend, which are very specifically about the policy that we support. But it's more common for people to talk about those policies under a price on carbon or even a carbon tax. And you're going to see us producing content that supports those concepts more generally. But we're still really talking about a price on carbon like in the Energy Innovation Act. It also allows us to broaden the pool of support points that we can use. So anyone who hopped on early saw that there are a lot of people who are talking about support for a carbon tax or a price on carbon who are important folks and can help move Congress forward. And so we want to be able to leverage that support in the effort of passing a policy like the Energy Innovation Act. So what's available right now? There are a few new website pages on citizensclimatelobby.org. If you go there under our climate solution, you'll see that the content there has been refocused under a price on carbon. We have a new page that talks about benefits and includes the ones I went through tonight, but there are also more. So we have developed more benefits because we sometimes need more flexibility to go into more detail or to cover more topics when we're talking to different audiences. And the other thing is we have a new carbon pricing bills in Congress page, which features the Energy Innovation Act, but also mentions other carbon pricing bills in Congress. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you all for joining us tonight. We're really glad that you would take 45 minutes out of your evening to join us for this call. Hopefully we achieved our three objectives, which was one, to have you understand why we, four objectives. One is to understand why we love the bill. Two, to understand the features of the bill and particularly the things that are different. I think that looks very, very clear coming out of this. And then what you can do, whether that's a postcard to Biden or whether that's reach out to your member of Congress or some of the other things that were outlined. And I hope that you feel that some of the new talking points will be useful for you in your upcoming letters to the editor and public talks you give. You know, there's some places where maybe you're meeting with your member of Congress, you're going to use the points you have been using, but I found these new talking points to be very, very helpful and useful, and I hope they are for you too. So I went to a talk many years ago with John Wooden, who was not just arguably the best basketball coach ever, he's just the best coach that ever coached anything, and his record is what indicates that. That's not like an opinion, it's just looking at championships won year after year, undefeated seasons. And one of the last questions he was asked in that talk was, what did he talk about his team just before the game about winning? And he looked at the person who asked the question like, what a funny question. And he said, I've never talked to my teams about winning. He said, the only thing I ever asked my teams is to be able to make sure and look themselves in the eye with the kind of effort they gave. And I think that that's really what we should be asking ourselves now for the next several months. You know, there's a lot of things we can't control. What we can control is what we bring to the party and what we do. There's a chance for us. There's going to be a climate package. There's a chance for us to get a price in with our activities. So let's just make sure that you and I do everything we know we can do to make sure that that is part of the package. All right, everybody. Thank you again so much. Big day for us. Big next few months. Let's go make something big happen. Good night, everybody.